plate a potential nugget.
I was also curious, in a profession like the police, you come in touch with a lot of human suffering, if I may.
Yes.
Sort of the negative end of the human condition. How do you, how have you managed your mind to stay positive, especially when it comes to being a mother, when it comes to being a wife, when it comes to, you know, who you are outside of work? I'm sure this has an impact on who you are as a person. So how have you, talk to us a little bit about how you've managed your mind through this journey.
So because my husband is also a police officer and I've seen mostly male officers dealing with things, I feel that I am a very emotional person. Like if you ask me to talk about my father, probably my throat even now will get very constricted and I'll have tears in my throat. But at a crime scene, if something has happened to a wife or a mother or something has happened which is unusual and there are emotions involved in the people who are undergoing that, who have experienced that crime, it affects me. And often tears come to my mind, and I've written very openly in the book also that I have cried with the people. I think that certain emotions in life are universal, and whether it happens in Bokaro or it happens in USA, it will be the same emotion. So, and I don't hide my emotions because it comes naturally to me. So my officers also get sometimes very stunned that why is madam crying? If I have a woman clinging to me and saying save so and so, or my child has died, then my natural instinct is to cry with them. But when I come back home and I have my own child clinging to me that pick me up in your lap and all, I somehow did not transfer that emotion to the home. I did have that ability to leave it at home. And recently, when the book came out, my daughter-in-law asked my son that, did you know that this has happened and this happened with your mother and all? They say that no, Amma never brought these emotions home. So we were quite sheltered from these emotions. And I think that was another mother's instinct at that time. I wanted to shelter them from my own life, which was not consciously, but I did not want to bring all those stories home and let them get affected. And also I was very protective about them. And I identify, somebody asked me, if you were to have dinner with somebody, whom would you have dinner with? I said, I like to have it with Michelle Obama. That person asked me why. I said, I think that I identify with her. I read her book. And I said, she also came from a very different background. Then she gets plummeted. She was very highly educated. She gets plummeted into becoming the wife of the president of the United States. But how protective she was about the children. How the security staff should not overwhelm the two girls. In the school, they should not be made to feel that they are something special, and they should not be intruding into their lives. All the time, her concern is for the children in one part of the book. The other parts are about her professional. She herself is a very professional. But that I really identified, that as a president of a country, she is also so affected by what should happen to her two girls. So I was also very particular that my children should not be influenced by the trappings of my power. You see, when I'm in a district, I'm like a king over there. Everybody's a DG's, SP is coming, SP is coming. Red vehicle is there with a red light, and I have security around me and all. If I went to a school, everything was cut off. I will not go as an SP to the PTA meeting. Many people will do it today. They will go in a uniform to show their strength there, but I will never go. So I like them to be sheltered, that they should not imbibe these extra powerful feelings that they are the SP's children or they are a police officer's children. They should be brought up the way we were all brought up. And in a district, you really become a very powerful person because of the position we are holding. As a DIG of Patna, you can imagine what it was. Now, you have to keep the children sheltered. So, I think that I was able to close my official uniform and my official feelings when I came home, and I did that consciously. I did not want to do it.
Put the children through. Staying with that, ma'am, that would have taken a toll on you. That sort of creating a wall at some level also puts a little bit of pressure. How did you handle that? What was your mechanism to stay sane in maintaining two separate compartments?
I think my husband would have helped. He would take charge of certain things, because there were often days when I could not come home, or there were days when I was out the whole night in the initial years of my career when I'm handling the field. Later on, I go to the police academy and it is different. But those pressures I could discuss with my husband, and there was no other way of handling. I mean, it is quite isolating when you are in the district and the you can't talk to everybody about the pressures you are going through. So if my husband was posted with me, because very often we were posted separately, but I really did not have a mechanism to handle. And yes, it was a lot of pressure. But one thing I like to tell working women is that their home should run on an autopilot. I had in-laws staying with me, or I had a lot of guests coming in because they needed help, they needed support. So the household should be geared in such a way that the meals are available.
The dependency is limited in a sense.
Limited. Then when I come home, then everything is in place. So for that, you know, you have to make that effort to find somebody who's, and I've heard a lot of women officers talk about this. And I think I imbibe that also from them, that you must have some proper help at home and don't be dependent on the police help, that which is like from form of orderlies and all. Spend a little money and have people who are really your own and who can travel with you from one district to another or from one posting to another. And when you come home, things are in place. When you don't come home and then start cooking and then looking after the child, then you spend some quality time with the children, see their homework, whether they have done, whether they have had their food and all, instead of now giving them a bath, giving them this. So you have to balance it in that way. And this has to be a conscious decision, that you don't carry the pressures of the office to your home.
It's interesting that Manjari speaks about the fact that she's an emotional person. Very often when we look at people at the top in these kinds of positions, we think of a leader who's wielding power in a cold and a calculative manner. I had the opportunity to speak with Jennifer Garvey Berger, a leading executive coach and an author based in the UK. I asked her about the paradigm of leadership that we would need in the future.
I think that leaders in the future will need to respond not to the short term, but to the long term. We're seeing that right now. Not to the disconnected, but to the interdependent. I think leaders will need to respond with their whole selves, their mind, their bodies, their emotions, and to the whole selves of other people, their minds, their bodies, and their emotions. And in a much clearer way, away from competition, which has often fueled humans and organizations, and into a deep sense of interconnectivity, because here we are all together, and trying to find a way for all of us to thrive is going to be every leader's job into the future.
And as you look around, Jennifer, any role models you see while it's still early? Any role models of leadership that you see emerging as you see different people deal with this crisis that's in front of us?
I mean, I have a bias here, but I'm just finishing a blog today that highlights Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who has had to face more crisis in her time as Prime Minister than other New Zealand Prime Ministers have had to in many, many years. And I find her blend of clarity, humanity, and experimental approach, I find that refreshing and incredibly helpful for what great leadership looks like in the future.
Like Jennifer says, we all need to embrace our emotions in our respective roles, not shut them out. Thank you for listening.